Shortly after dawn on the 18th day, Karna was cremated. And shortly after that, Duryodhana gave the order, arm up. And at that, the whole of the encampment, the Kaurava encampment, came to life. People were scurrying around, carrying this and doing that, sharpening weapons. Horses were being yoked into the chariots. The chariot weapon boxes were being filled up with the prescribed weapons. Carpets were being laid on the terraces of weapons. Slabs of armor were being hung on elephants, and so on and so on. And always in the background was the thump, thump, thump of the drums, of the mridangas, of the crashing occasionally of cymbals. Conches seemed to be blowing almost incessantly, and the odd trumpet and so on. The morale-raising noises of war that one has at this stage, morale-raising. Shalya had taken a formation of an open-winged bird. Shalya, now the fourth commander-in-chief, was at the head of this formation. Behind him he had his own support troops, the Mandrakas. And on the left wing was Kritavarman, one of the top-flight warriors in Krishna's army that was now fighting with the Kauravas. He was a quiet fellow and not what a big ego and boasting. Got a lot of this with some of the other warriors. Not at all. A very solid man, somewhat similar to Satyaki, a little bit more a quieter personality. He was in charge of the Dragatas, and on the right-hand side was Kripa, brother-in-law to Drona, and he was in charge of the Yadavas, which was the main Krishna army. At the back was Ashwataman, the son of Drona, and he shared that with Shikhandin, the Karchap. In the center was Duryodhana himself and the three sons of Karna. As the army marched out, there were bad omens. To the left could be seen herds of deer and herds of buffalo, and there were flocks of birds flying all over that left-hand part of the army. And some of the crows and a few owls would actually fly over the army as it made its way forward, and occasionally alight on the banners or even on some of the heads of the warriors, which was a sure indication of a disaster and a defeat ahead. Back at the Pandavas, their camp, Yudhishthira had asked Krishna, what do we do now? In other words, Karna was now out of the way. The main block to victory and the main worry to Yudhishthira and so many others, Karna had now been killed. Krishna thought about it for a while, and then he said, your task now should be to kill Salya. That's what you should concentrate on. And he pointed out that, in fact, Salya, and I mentioned this before, I think, not only was he not to be underestimated, he was an outstanding warrior, but because he was now commander-in-chief, it would be quite normal and to be expected that his capacities would increase even further to that position which he had been appointed. In other words, as commander-in-chief, Krishna said he was equal, if not better, than Bhishma, Drona, and Karna. And he also added, he said to Yudhishthira, he said, you have crossed the fathomless Kaurava ocean. Do not sink into the small pond of Salya. In other words, this is the last round, so to speak. This is the end. Don't muck it up and don't underestimate Salya. And he said to Yudhishthira, he said, show not only your Kshatriya powers, but also your ascetic powers. So to counteract the formation of Salya, Arjuna had formed his troops into three main divisions. Arjuna would combat Kritavarman on the left, and Bhima would take on Kripa on the right wing. And then Dhrishtadyumna, the commander-in-chief of the Pandavas, and Shikhandin, both of the Panchala princes, together with Satyaki, would attack the Madrakas, the support force of Shalya, and Shalya himself would be fought by Yudhishthira. Interestingly, one of the things that was agreed right at the beginning by the commander, the Karava commanders, was they'd all fight together. None of these duels one-to-one. If anyone took on a major warrior of the Pandavas, all five would wade in. And they agreed that, in fact, if they didn't, it would constitute one of the five major sins, and of course the minor sins, if they didn't conform to that. Well, right at the beginning, fortune was in Yudhishthira's side, and he actually managed to cut, almost before the armies had met each other, he managed to cut the banner of Salya. That's psychologically quite something, because it's really the beginning of the end, or considered as such. And he also put a couple of arrows into, nasty ones, into Salya that made him quite faint. But unfortunately, his good luck or his good judgment or whatever it was at the time, it didn't last. And it's quite difficult to describe, because it was quite a bloodbath, this last half day or so of battle. And it swung one way and the other, probably only about the equivalent of one army left. Remember, there were 18 armies originally. And the sway of the Pandavas being put to flight by the Kravas, a successful attack, and then a counterattack by the Pandavas, putting the Kravas to flight, and various the great warriors supporting each other. There's a whole pattern of that. Even from the beginning, Salya and Yudhishthira were in combat, and then others would come in and take over. And we were beginning to see a different Yudhishthira. Him, the gentle, introverted leader, was now seen as a roaring Kshatriya, with his eyes wide open, a side seldom seen. There were one or two interesting episodes. One thing that was quite prevalent in the philosophy, the Kshatriya philosophy, but particularly to Duryodhana, he used it to his advantage, was the concept that even if you're not winning, you're going to lose, you're going to die, it's better to die fighting as a Kshatriya, where immediately your merit will take you into heaven, than to actually run away from the battle and not die fighting. And he used this on a number of occasions. He used it actually the night before to his commanders, where Kripa had wanted to actually sue for peace. He said, it is better for us to fight together and gain victory, the possibility of victory, if not gain our entry into heaven. And he said to his army on one of the occasions when it was in retreat, he said, you can go to the mountains, you can go to the plains, but the Pandavas will get you. Turn around, fight them, and your goal will be heaven. And another occasion, he was standing in his chariot, just quietly, the battle was going on. He'd been yelling at his troops not to fight, not to go into the Pandavas. About 1,700 chariots were going. He knew it was disaster. It was disaster. And then Shikhanding came over, and I'm saying it a bit rudely, he'd been more polite. He said, what are you doing standing here? You know, that you should be fighting with everyone else. He put it far nicer than that. And Duryodhana said, well, I was telling him not to go, so I was shouting at them. He's shouting himself hoarse, but they took no notice of me. And so Shikhanding said, well, what do you expect? It's the heat of the battle. No one takes any notice of orders in the heat of the battle. And this sort of thing went on. At the beginning of the final battle between Salya and Yudhishthira, Bhima had actually joined them, and Bhima's armor had been cut off by Salya. And also that Salya had cut Yudhishthira's bow at the same time. And Kripa moved in as well, and he killed Yudhishthira's charioteer, and Salya put four arrows and killed Yudhishthira's horses. So Yudhishthira totally immobile. That Bhima once more moved round, and he took over the initiative, and he cut Salya's bow, and he also put two very nasty, very powerful arrows went into Salya that checked him, and then he cut off Salya's charioteer's head, and he too killed the four horses of Salya. So therefore the two combatants had no mobility whatsoever. At that stage Sahadeva joined in, and then Bhima he came round the side, a side shot, while he was in shot with those two arrows that went into him. He cut Salya's armor off him. Salya at that grabbed his shield and his sword, and he rushed towards Yudhishthira. Now, Yudhishthira had had a spear that was actually, the shaft of it was made for Shiva by Tvastra. He was the artificer, he was the armorer of the gods, and it had been worshipped and it had been adored by Yudhishthira, garlanded and so forth. He took this spear and with his wild yell, he said, "Salya dies," and he thrust the spear. The spear went right through Salya into the ground. And Salya fell back, arms spread out, and blood coming from his nose, from his eyes, from his ears, and his mouth. And as he fell, those nearby seemed to, it seemed that the earth rose up to meet Salya, rather like a wife rising up to meet and greet her husband. Salya was dead, but the fight was still a lot to go before the final outcome came about. We'll deal with that next time. So if you have been listening, thank you very much. Bye-bye.